Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
And listen, Ice is back with my brand new invention. Something grabs a hold of me tightly, flow like a harpoon daily and nightly.
Morning, everyone. We're here for public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
Fact of the matter is commissioners come and go with, you know, 50% plus one is suffices. Presidents, 50% plus one suffices. And corporation, my thought is, I would, on MSBU, and this is just an internal board policy, this isn't an ordinance, is that we should allow it to be 50% plus one.
This is Commissioner Sam Parker, chairman currently of the County Commission in Santa Rosa County, proposing a revision of the MSBU policy in Santa Rosa County, which is a little bit of a patchwork quilt of policies. The way it works right now, an MSBU is a municipal services benefit unit. That is the idea that a geographic location, large or small, can vote to create a benefit like paving a dirt road or putting in streetlights. And there's all different kinds of these MSBUs around. And if and depending on the nature of the MSBU in Santa Rosa County, depends on how much of the vote you need to get. Street lighting requires 60%. Public works like stormwater and paving require 2/3, 66%. And Sam Parker is saying 50% plus one. Why is not a simple majority adequate to do these things? That doesn't make any sense.
I don't see why in the world we would require a supermajority for citizens to do that, but yet we can come as go as commissioners. I mean, after November, you'll have four commissioners up here that were elected with less of a percent than we're going to tell our citizens they have to get a public works project. And that's crazy in my mind.
Yeah, and I have a lot of thoughts about this, but I'm going to let him get his stuff out. By the way, just in case you haven't looked out the window in the last 10 minutes, we had a huge downpour in Escambia County, and it's sort of lightening up already. Somehow we managed to get ourselves in the other band, not the one we've been watching over in Okaloosa County, which has shifted to the east. Now is Walton County, basically. But yeah, so these kind of pop-ups and occasional uncertainties about wind interaction, that's why we still have a tornado watch in effect until 1 o'clock this afternoon. We both looked out the window and were like, oh, good Lord. It was clear. A minute ago, it was clear. Anyway, back to Santa Rosa County, Sam Parker's proposal to revise the way MSBUs are created. What he basically wants is he wants it to be a majority plus one to self-tax in order to create a benefit area.
So I think if 50% is enough to put a guy on this county commission, 50% ought to be enough to say, I want to pave my dirt road. I'm willing to pay for it, but you can't get a super majority.
Okay, so there's a couple of different issues here, and one issue is getting even a plurality, right? You can be a county commissioner and have only gotten like 35% of the vote, you know, depending on how many people were in the race, okay? And that's part of the reason I have always said that you ought to have a majority. But just because you can elect a county commissioner doesn't mean that you can make a policy. It takes three. So it takes three either majority or pluralities in order to make a vote happen. So it's not quite as simple as that. But yes, some of the decisions that we make are simple majority decisions. Some of the decisions we make require supermajorities, right? Like passing a constitutional amendment takes a supermajority, 60%. Overriding a veto. It only takes a majority to make the policy, but it takes a majority in both chambers if you're talking at the state level, or in one chamber if it's like the, you know, county commission. In the state, there's a veto, and overriding a veto takes 2/3, right? Even amendments to the Constitution take a supermajority, right? 3/4. As I said, that's right, isn't it? 3/4? It's been so long since we've done one. I'm pretty sure that's right. Just never happens. But the point is, we have decided that some things do take supermajorities because they are different and they should be a higher threshold. Sam Parker continues.
I've tried to help some citizens with getting a dirt road paved, and they've never been able to get the 66%. That is a tough thing to do. especially because our land development code restricts the number of people that can build on a non-county maintained road. So usually you might only have 8 or 9 people, or like in this particular case I'm thinking of. And so getting 66% is really tough.
It is hard. And the question is, should it be hard or not? And he's saying we just ought to have consistency. Whatever you like in one area, it ought to be the same in every area.
If you feel like 60% should be required, then I would ask this board to require that on your local option sales tax. Because our current local option sales tax was not approved by over 60%. It's my rationale. Don't further the brown.
So it ought to be the same across the board, whether it's talking about incorporation or whether it's talking about electing a commissioner or whether it's talking about passing a ballot initiative or anything else. And so I kind of disagree with this. I think that there are some things that you want to have a higher threshold and some things that you want to have a lower threshold. And the fact that it's difficult doesn't mean that you shouldn't have it. Here's why. If you have, let's say, 20 people on a dirt road, okay, and they can get 11 people to want to pave that road and tax themselves to compensate for it, right, which is how an MSBU would work. They would not get it if, under the current policy, right, if you have to get 2/3, okay? Right now, you would have to get, what, 13, right? 14? I do the math. I guess 14, actually. And that's what James, that's what he's saying, that's what Sam is saying, is that's too hard. Yeah, I don't know. Increasing the taxes on 20 families ought to be hard. Because the other 5 or 6 people bought a dirt road property, and so did the 14. And if they don't like it, well, tough. You should live somewhere else. The people who want to keep it a dirt road, weird though it may seem, want it to be a dirt road. That might mean public safety has a hard time getting to them. Okay, that's what they want. So in my mind, it ought to be harder to tax. Anything that raises taxes ought to be harder to do. In fact, frankly, I think the way it ought to work generally is to pass a new law or to increase a tax ought to be a supermajority, whereas to remove a tax or to rescind a law ought to be a simple majority. That way you get less government rather than more government. Increasing government should be harder to do. Okay? Because really good ideas shouldn't have a hard time getting that support. You don't want the sort of barely majority ideas to pass. We'll come back to this in a second because I'm going to surprise you with something here. John Pickens got traffic on the fives.
That scares me. Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Give them a call today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. Still dealing with that accident at Olive Road and Whitmire Drive. Now that's causing delays all the way to Davis Highway and the other side of Whitmire Drive, going westbound and eastbound. So just pack your patience with that one. It's they're trying to get that one out of the way. Other than that, traffic's flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. And hey, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, you want to make a good decision, you want to get the best information, you want to get good guidance. Things like, what are the interest rates doing? What are investors doing? Are they waiting? Are they getting back in? Are prices going to come up? Going to go down? What's likely? How about that change in the way real estate agents' fees work? Does that affect you? How are you working within that? What about house insurance? That's something that, oh my God, seriously, if you haven't really had to deal with that yet, or maybe you haven't had to encounter it yet, house insurance in Florida is its own special nightmare. And this can affect you if you're selling a home because, you know, let's say you got a roof that's 15 years old. That might not be able to get insurance on the buyer. And if the buyer can't get insurance, that's going to affect you. And they may demand that you get your roof fixed or your water heater or your air conditioner. Or like all of those things are kind of now in play all of a sudden. The reason I bring that up is because you want a good realtor who understands that, who can give you good advice. Are they asking for too much? Are they not asking for the right things? You know, are you not asking for the right things? That's why you need good professional guidance when you're buying or selling a home. And Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, they can help you with that. They sold 175 homes last year. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. Okay, back to this conversation, which is going to be on the agenda this morning to talk about how MSBUs as a policy are created in Santa Rosa County. And so far, you've got Sam Parker arguing that it ought to be easier for people to self-tax in order to fund an improvement, like paving a road is the one he keeps talking about. It, instead of being, you know, 2/3, it ought to be 50% plus one of the affected residents. James Calkins.
I just wanted to say that I would absolutely support a 60% majority for any tax, any sales tax, anything. I think that when you're asked citizens to grow government and ask for more taxes, that there should be a supermajority passing. it's a great thought. And I would say that'd be something we should go to our legislator to get a constitutional amendment. This has nothing to do with what you're saying, but it just you bringing this up just made me think of a good idea that we should get our legislator to do a constitutional amendment that is that's got to be approved by the voters of 60% to get it passed, but I bet it will pass, that no county can raise sales tax, any sales tax, without a supermajority. Just my opinion.
This is going to be the second time in 2 hours when I say the following words. James Gawkins is right. It gets easier. It hasn't happened a lot. Okay? But I agree with him. It ought to be harder than a mere majority to raise taxes. I don't know that I would support a constitutional amendment requiring 60% for or a law passed by the legislature. Is the group legislators or the individuals? Anyway, but generally speaking, yeah, forcing people to pay money to the government that they don't want to pay for a benefit that they don't want, I agree with him. That shouldn't be so easy. It's the kind of thing where you don't want to give government too much power to take. There's not a constitutional right to not be taxed, but it is kind of the basis of our country to be resistant and reluctant about taxes. And so even though there's not, like, your protection of free speech is protected or your protection of gun rights is protected, there's not a, you have a right not to be taxed, you know, overly taxed in the Constitution. But it's kind of a concept that we agree with, generally speaking. And so I actually, a 60% majority to pass a tax makes sense to me, even a local option sales tax. Does that mean that some taxes wouldn't pass? I mean, maybe. But do we believe in representative government and democracy or not? Do we believe in referendums or not? And if we do, then I don't know why just mere majority should be making some of these decisions. Even the incorporation one. I do not think you should be able to incorporate with 50% plus one. That's too close. That means you're forcing an awful lot of people into, you know, you're forcing them to get the benefits of the change that's going to cost them money. If you can't get 60%, if you even two-thirds maybe, you probably shouldn't be doing it. You probably shouldn't be imposing on your neighbors that much. It ought to be more than just a mere majority, in my opinion. Okay, so I actually side with James Calkins about this. Colton Wright, meanwhile.
It's hard to take a stand today just because I want to work with staff and find out where the 66% came from and just get a better understanding of that. But I completely understand your rationale. And when we start talking about public works, MSBUs, stormwater paving, actual infrastructure projects, it seems like if that's the thing everyone's screaming about, and we all know that infrastructure isn't a problem, we should probably try to figure out a better path on how to accelerate those projects as much as possible.
Yeah. Again, I like the idea of getting the public works projects done and having people pay for it who choose to do it. I just think it ought to be a little bit higher threshold than a mere majority to force your neighbors to pay money for a benefit that they don't want. That's especially when you have an existing situation that other people are choosing to remedy. That's kind of where I disagree with it. By the way, every vote that the county commissioners take is a supermajority, right? 3 out of 5 is 60%. And if there's one person absent, it's 75%. So even though, yes, you can be on the board if you are a mere plurality or even a mere majority, you then have to cobble together a supermajority just to get anything done. Kerry Smith weighs in.
I'm in agreement. And a lot of times in my experience with MSBUs, but we'll go further down the road and I'm sure we'll discuss it more. But my goodness, if it's just one vote over 50% to put Trump in office, I don't want it to be squelched because we have to have a 60%. That's the American way, 50 plus one.
And as I said, James Calkins had something right. I'm going to give him a chance to get something really, really wrong.
Just want to respond. The president is elected by the Electoral College, and the Electoral College does not require over 50%. As a matter of fact, President Trump won, but he had less than 50%. And because of the Electoral College. As a matter of fact, I won this commission seat by 36% in a Republican primary. Commissioner Smith won his commission seat by 28%. So it's all, You know, it's the rules we set in place.
Oh, dear. Two different kinds of majorities, right? Because the fact that he did not win the majority of the popular vote that does not count for anything and is a mere number byproduct of the process is irrelevant. What matters is that he got a majority of the Electoral College. So trying to explain and wind up getting that wrong, so be it. 437-1620. Oh, and by the way, I got it wrong too, and I couldn't remember if it was 2/3 or 3/4. 2/3 for the proposing an amendment to the Constitution, ratification by the states, apparently. But I'm just double checking that because I had thought in my head it was 3/4. So anyway, ratification. I had it right. Ratification by 3/4 of the states. Okay, 38/50. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by ECUA Bulkway Services. Now call for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. Learn more at ecua.fl.gov. Still, thanks for a tip on this. We just had an accident happen on I-10 eastbound, halfway between Pine Forest and Highway 29. So just be aware of that. That's causing some minor delays. Also, still dealing with that accident on Olive Road and Whitmire Drive. It's causing, they're trying to get that off to the side of the road so traffic can flow, but it's still causing backups in both directions. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Discouraged, defeated, disappointed, you're listening to Strength for Life.
Hey, this is Pastor James Johnson with Strength for Life. I want you to know that there are resources available on our website that are specifically designed to strengthen you in your walk with God. Maybe you're feeling weak in your prayer life because of unanswered prayer. I wrote a little booklet entitled When God Says No, which will strengthen you in how to deal with those times in your life when it seems that God is silent. Maybe you're struggling because someone you love is away from the Lord. They're wayward and your heart is broken. On our website, you'll find a booklet entitled Ministry to the Wayward. And it will strengthen you in knowing exactly how to help that person who is in a prodigal situation. You can find these strengthening resources and much more at our website, which is www.strengthforlife.church. Check it out today.
Join Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola tomorrow at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Dr. Rebecca Gibbons will be here to answer your questions about the many benefits of acupuncture. If you suffer from chronic back pain, neuropathy, or joint pain, or even stress and anxiety, this is a show you will not want to miss. That is tomorrow at 9:30 with Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Mom, meet Sarah.
From first-time Nana moments.
Yeah, welcome to Flight 101.
To annual girls' trip moments. Your can't-miss moments are worth protecting against RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60-plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV. And there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at VaxAssist.com.
So where should we go next?
Sponsored by Pfizer.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Wow, I could have had a V8.
So we are watching the weather this morning, and it's super weird. We're getting these little pop-up storm cells. Like, there was one just over North Milton and one up by Jay just a minute ago. So even though much of the radar looks pretty clear in our two-county area, it's just every once in a while you might just drive into the middle of something. So please, please use some caution and be careful when you're driving. David Wayne, or if you're at home, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, they've been busy in California. Lawmakers there approving a bill to prohibit the farming and import of octopuses. Octopi?
What's the problem? Octopi.
Octopi, yeah, it sounds good. That means octopus farming in state waters or land off of California. For human consumption will no longer be allowed.
All right. Or I suppose in some places they call it octopi.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. There was flooding in and around New Orleans and some other parts of Louisiana as what was Hurricane Francine, now a tropical depression, moves through.
For the panhandle up towards Alabama, we have a tornado watch. We could see very heavy rainfall, tropical storm force winds as Francine continues to move northward. Power outages, close to 400,000 without power in southeastern Louisiana, and there's the rain still to come along the trajectory of this path.
Fox meteorologist Janice Dean, 6 United Nations refugee relief workers among 18 people reported killed in an Israeli airstrike on a school used as a shelter in Gaza.
UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres condemned the strike, saying what's happening in Gaza is totally unacceptable. Israel describes the incident as a precise strike on terrorists and insists it took measures to protect civilians from harm.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. It's a rainy Thursday morning, 78 degrees right now in Pensacola. Of course, still watching Hurricane Francine. It landed last night in Louisiana. It did cause some people to evacuate there. Channel 3 talked with Paul Stant, who brought his family to Pensacola to seek shelter.
And so for us, even though we had generators to power our homes, we thought that, you know, let's keep proactive and not sit and wait for the storm to come over.
Heavy rains and thunderstorms are forecast today as that storm moves north across Louisiana into Mississippi. At last check, maximum sustained winds at about 45 miles an hour, and it was about 60, 70 miles north of New Orleans. About 400,000 people in that area are without power. Of course, here in our area, we only noticed about a handful of power outages scattered across the area earlier this morning. Well, you've got until the end of next week now to get your feedback in on the Palafox redesign project for downtown Pensacola. D.C. Reeves, Pensacola's mayor, says he's gotten quite a few ideas from their website already.
I've heard everything from don't take away one parking space, which good news. We're the net parking is going to be somewhere from -3 to maybe even now plus parking spaces. So that's not an issue. And then I've got some people say shut the whole street down 24 hours a day, which we're also not going to do.
Reeves says that project is still completely in the conceptual design stage. No work has been approved as of yet. To see the current concepts and ideas, check out the new palafox.com. You can leave your ideas through the website. The city hoping to wrap up project design over the winter and have it out for bid early next year. The Escambia Sheriff's Office out with a warning about the latest round of scams.
You know, there's always a scam going around. They always use a name that they think that people would recognize. They would use my name or one of my chief's names or something. And then they'll talk about you. You have a warrant for you. Typically, you have a warrant for you. In this case, they use some, as I understand it, public records on some PPP loans from COVID era. Apparently, some of those have become public record.
And that's Sheriff Chip Simmons. He says the scammers may have your actual loan number and personal information about you or relatives to make this call seem more legitimate. But the scammers, he says, are telling people they have a warrant related to the loan, but it can be canceled if money is put into a Bitcoin ATM. He says law enforcement, whether it would be his office, the U.S. Marshals, or the FBI, would never make that type of request. And a lawsuit challenging a state website that's urging people to vote no on Amendment 4 in November is now being challenged as attempted election interference. The website was created by the state's Agency for Healthcare Administration. Lawyer Adam Richardson claims in his lawsuit that the AHCA, Governor DeSantis, and the Attorney General are interfering with the election. The state Supreme Court is fast-tracking the case. It's ordered the AHCA to respond to the lawsuit by September 23rd. It is 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Got an accident, I-10 eastbound, right around mile marker number 9. If you're going I-10 eastbound, There's a roadblock in the area, so use caution. And I'm seeing the backups well past Pine Forest, so just be aware of that. And then we've got the construction zone through Highway 29. If you make it past those, then you're good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are watching the outer bands of Francine as they move through this morning. Showers and thunderstorms slowly come to an end as we go into the late morning hours. As you head through the rest of the day, going to be looking at breezy conditions with some cloudy skies. Temperatures today topping out in the low 80s. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And as a reminder, we do have a tornado watch in effect for the entire area until 1 o'clock this afternoon. Right now we've got rainy conditions, some pop-up showers popping up every now and then. It's 78 in Pensacola, 77 in Gulf Breeze, 76 in Milton. Now our market report.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Stock futures have inched higher as investors brace for more inflation and labor data following a volatile session spurred by the release of the August Consumer Price Index. The CPI showed prices increased by 0.2% month over month. Today, Wall Street is anticipating the release of the August Producer Price Index. Dow Jones economists predicted a rise of 0.2% last month. The report drops in 10 minutes. The CEO of Swiss banking giant UBS said the fight against inflation is not over, and investors expecting an aggressive rate hike by the Federal Reserve this month are getting ahead of themselves. The question of whether the Fed will lower rates at the end of its next policy meeting has largely been answered. The only question that remains is by how much. Once again, futures are slightly higher. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials gained 124. The NASDAQ gained 369. That's Your Money Now.
When the open road or off-road calls, the 2024 Subaru Forester answers. Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. The impressive off-road capability of the Forester Wilderness starts with its dependable symmetrical all-wheel drive. It optimizes power distribution between the wheels to deliver maximum traction on challenging trails or in slippery weather conditions. Pair that with 9.2 inches of ground clearance and standard Yokohama Geolander AT all-terrain tires, and you'll feel free to explore even farther down the trail. Plus, the Forester Wilderness comes with a full-size spare, a rare sight these days. The Forester Wilderness makes it easy to load up for adventure with an extra-wide rear gate opening and 60-40 split fold-down rear seat. And its interior protective material stands up to wear and tear from all that gear, passengers, and pets. The Forester Wilderness is built for your boldest adventures. Find yours at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Pensacola Little Theater presents A Man for All Seasons, a captivating historical drama that offers a window into the tumultuous 16th century England during King Henry VIII's reign, September 13th through 22nd. The play delves into the moral and political struggles of Sir Thomas More, a devout Catholic and loyal subject to the king. As Henry VIII, driven by his desire to divorce his wife, clashes with the Catholic Church, he demands the unwavering loyalty of his subjects. Secure your ticket for this show online at PensacolaLittleTheater.com or at the PLT box office.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. We have a team of experienced broadcast experts who are dedicated to keeping you informed about the latest weather conditions and forecasts. We'll provide you with up-to-the-minute updates on any developing storms, as well as safety tips and information on how to prepare for a hurricane. So for the latest hurricane coverage, stay tuned to News Radio Pensacola on AM 1620, 92.3, 95.3, and on HD Radio at 98.7. We'll keep you safe. Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Good morning, 7:39 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. You might have heard David Wayne mention this, but just to make sure everybody's informed, we are under a tornado watch until 1 p.m. There are pop-up showers. We've had at least three pretty intense tiny little systems pop up, one in Pensacola, one in Milton, and one in Jay over the last half hour. So we are also under a, what is the coastal flood advisory? Is that right? Coastal flood advisory until 1 o'clock as well. High surf warnings until 7 p.m. tonight, and wind advisories, and like I said, the tornado watch. So just, you know, be careful. Be careful. Joining us this morning, Mike Wood is out, but we have the chief, Eric Randall, chief of Pensacola Police. Chief, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir. It's been a minute.
Hey, yes, sir. Good morning. I hope everybody's doing all right out here as this storm passed through. Yes, sir.
How what effects are we seeing? I mean, you know, you kind of keep your ear on all of this stuff. Anything in the city that's particularly caught your attention as a result of the storm?
Nothing right now. You know, crews worked, you know, my staff and, you know, all the public safety was out overnight as well as public works to try to, you know, address anything that come up. You know, we were coordinating with our, you know, our public works team, if we had any limbs, anything down. Right now, roads appear to be clear. I would pass on to the community to please be cautious, slow down. There is some ponding on the roadways in certain areas. So, but also, if you see, you know, a street that may be flooded, turn around, don't drown. And right now, you know, I'm out here riding around, and we got scattered showers and peaks of the sun are starting to come out as well. So I think that's a good thing.
That is a good thing. By the way, limbs down is how I describe my body after I play tennis for the first time in 6 months. sorry, I couldn't resist. Hey, one of the things that's about to happen in the state of Florida, coming up in about 2.5 weeks, October 1st, the new homeless law goes into effect. That's the law that requires cities and counties to prohibit public camping on public lands. They allow us to have a temporary shelter for camping if we want to have that, but there's all kinds of rules about what has to be done. But the main thing is, you know, your law enforcement agency and the Escambia County Sheriff's Office and Gulf Breeze and Santa Rosa are all going to have to enforce the prohibition on public camping. And we've been talking about this coming for a long time, but October 1st is the day. Where's your agency at in preparing for this? What are you doing to prepare for what is going to be a change in the law in about 2.5 weeks?
Yeah, so we've been doing a lot. We've been having a lot of conversations working with our legal staff and working with the mayor's office and working with our homeless advocates in the community as well. As well as, you know, we have our community response specialists that fall up under the police department. You know, October 1st, the new House bill that goes into effect talks about not allowing, you know, municipalities or governments not knowingly allow people to camp in public and things of that nature on public property. So we've been working very diligently in the last couple of weeks. We've been communicating with our businesses, you know, all over the downtown area about the new law. Also, I think we've been trying to also work to dispel a lot of misconceptions, because a lot of people think that particular law is the actual criminal enforcement. That's more of a civil process that can be undertaken by businesses or citizens against the local government to actually have the local government remedy a situation. And that actual part of the point where you get into the point where you know, petitioning to have the local government remedy a particular situation actually doesn't go in effect and go active until January 1st. So we've been doing a lot of different things, as you saw, within the last year. Actually, it's coming up on a year next month where we deployed and hired on two community response specialists to kind of, you know, get ahead of things and be very forward-leaning in dealing with our homeless and unhoused population and building those relationships with our community partners. We're working very diligently with the County 9 in collaboration based on what's going on Beggs Lane, things of that nature, building those relationships. And every day we're out and about talking to businesses, citizens, and a homeless population as well. So we'll be training the rest of our staff on a lot of different things related to different ordinances that are out there. But our community response specialists have been, you know, boots on the ground working with our homeless population, our community, and our advocates to be very, very proactive in this stance before October 1st.
So what's going to happen on October 2nd? If I'm, you know, playing disc golf at Hitzman Optimus Park and I see a guy, you know, sleeping in a hammock, or if, you know, somebody sees somebody on Palafox sleeping in a doorway, what will actually happen with your officers and with those people?
So, you know, we've had great experience with this over the last couple of years, and even more in the last year with bringing on our staff, our advanced staff. So we get calls like this, you know, regularly. And some of the things what we do is, depending on, you know, the nature of the call and the type of call it is, if someone's sleeping and things of that nature, what we try to do is we try to deploy our community response specialists out there, as well as if we have to have officers and things of that nature. And they make contact with the individual and work with the individual people on finding what the issues is their solutions. Are they homeless? Do they need somewhere to go? Are there services that need to be offered? And, you know, most of the time we utilize that, and that has been a very great success. The other part of that, too, is we get businesses, you know, someone sleeping in front of a business, a lot of times a business may come in and want to, you know, trespass warn somebody. So we utilize law enforcement for that aspect of it. So there's a number of different tools, different strategies. Every situation is different. So we walk into every situation with an open mind and look at all the tools we have currently available to be able to remedy the situation as effective as possible.
Okay, and the big change in October 1st is that, you correct me if I'm wrong, but you can't just leave it as is. You're not allowed to leave it as is, basically. That's right, isn't it?
The
state law requires you to enforce the prohibition is the shift, right? That's what will be required
right,
now.
Right.
Okay. Good. And that's what I knew you guys were working on that, but I just wanted to clarify, because I think that's something that we'd been paying a lot of attention to this back when the legislature was talking about it in the month or two afterwards, and then hadn't been talking about this much. And you're the first person I've had a chance to ask the question about on the air. So I appreciate that. We're talking to Eric Randall. He is the Pensacola Police Chief. Hang out for just a second, Chief. We'll be back after Traffic on the Fives with John Pickens.
That's right. One accident that happened on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. That's got traffic backed up all the way past Pine Forest. And so that's about a 10-15 minute delay there. So just be aware of that. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. One of the things that is, you know, over the last like 5 or 6 years, really post Ferguson particularly, but certainly post George Floyd and COVID, staffing, recruitment, retention. You know, we're just into the major decisions about budgets have kind of been made, but we're ratifying budgets now. How is staffing at PPD? What levels are you at? Are you needing pay increases? How are you doing?
So that is a very great question at a wonderful time in the year. We're working just recently to solidify a new contract for the officers. So starting salary is going to be bumped up significantly to make us very, very competitive in the region, if not in the state as well. Right now, we have about 7 vacancies, but we have those all slotted out to be filled within the next few months. Recruiting and retention is very, very, very critical in public safety, and particularly law enforcement. And, you know, one of the things in the last, you know, over the last few years that we have changed at PPD is we went to a continuous recruitment model. Instead of hiring different cycles, we hire continuously throughout the year. There may be small periods of time where we may close what we call a requisition to clean up, you know, some of the applicants that we have in there. But for the most part, our continuous hiring stays open all year long.
Okay.
And it's a continuous process, and it has ebbs and flows. Yes, sir.
Yeah, so which makes sense to me is kind of always instead of only in these chunks, which means that you kind of get behind and then you get ahead and then you get behind, which instead of, you know, trying to do it all the time makes sense to me. Challenges for the football games. I know the county and Commissioner Lumen May has talked quite a bit about this. We've talked about this with Sheriff Chip Simmons. You know, ending night games, making some decisions about use of fields. It was apparently not that popular with everybody. What's been going on in the city? I don't feel like I have a good grasp of this. Or has this not been a problem at city football games?
Well, you know, that is always a concern. You know, safety at any event, any sporting event. And, you know, over the last few years, we've had some incidents that have happened. So some of the things that we've done in the city is, particularly this year, we've had a great conversation with our Parks and Rec that manages the fields and who's been in great, you know, communication with the different leagues. We've deployed police officers. We've deployed security guards. We've enhanced our patrols. And we're keeping a close eye on particularly what goes on in the community. And if there's something that has happened, a major incident that has happened, we're on the phones, we're collaborating, we're making sure we got the right resources that are deployed to, you know, any particular area of the city. But it's all about, you know, us all working together and making sure we information share and everybody being responsible. You know, I know sometimes we get very, very excited about our sports and teams and things of that nature. But let's not take it to a level where it's getting very, very violent out there. So, but those are some of the things we're doing. Then we, you know, we work with our school district for the high school football games that we have from, you know, throughout the city. Particular rivals draw bigger crowds, so we have to be very, very cognizant of that. But we are communicating almost every day about weekly events when it comes to these sporting events to make sure we're getting the right information collected and we're passing that information along and making decisions at the time.
The mayor, in collaboration with, if I remember correctly, I think it was in collaboration with you, and I'm assuming he's involved you in the conversation, but the red light cameras, we have been waiting. How close are we? Do you have any sense?
Well, we're still working with the vendor. What's going on now is we're in the permitting process. The vendor's in the permitting process with the Department of Transportation. So until the permitting process gets completed and approved, then we'll be able to provide a more concrete timeline.
Okay.
So that's where that stands right now in the permitting process. That's beyond our control right now. But,
okay.
But we're ready to move as soon as the permits get approved, and then they can do the construction and things that need to do at these different approaches there. The red light cameras will be installed at.
Okay. And I had known it was supposed to be, you know, like a summer rollout, and then that didn't happen, and just kind of feels like it's always a couple of months away maybe, and I guess that's kind of where we are now too, which that's fine. I mean, you know, you can't make that happen, obviously. Similar topic, speed enforcement, something that I know had been a passion of the past chief of police, Tommy Leiter, and I think you and I have talked about this a couple times. It's something that you consider pretty important too. What's being done to reduce speeding in the city of Pensacola, the number one threat to property and life by drivers?
Oh, yeah. We are all over the place. And I know some people see us on the bridge, the Bay Bridge, come across there, stop the speeders all day long. I mean, we're all over the place. That's probably one of the number one complaints we get each week is about speeding here, speeding there. So our traffic unit is working very, very diligently to address speeding all throughout the city. We've done a number of different what we call blitz operations where we've focused on specific areas of the city, addressing speeding, driving under the influence, and things of that nature. A couple weekends ago, we did a DUI blitz where we addressed speeding and driving under influence as well. But I would just say, please obey the speed limit. And because you never know when PPD is out there going to stop you and give you a good welcome to the great court system for not driving the speed limit.
Another one of these kind of when is it going to happen? Do we yet have a due date for the new SWAT vehicle to replace the old plumber's van?
It's coming.
but it feels like it's been coming for like a year.
Andrew, I'll tell you, you know, anything nowadays you build from scratch forever. You know, you got supply chain stuff and things and other things come into play. You know, one of the things that came into play for us was Defense Production Act for some stuff that was going on, you know, internationally, and that set our project back. But I'm hoping, I'm very positive with information that hopefully by next month, we should be able to see that thing on ground here in Pensacola. We should be having some people go out in the next few weeks to do a final inspection on that thing and then get it shipped here to Florida.
Well, so good. I mean, I certainly hope so. I hate to think of our SWAT guys being vulnerable. And finally, we can turn the plumber's van into just a straight-up surveillance vehicle, which would be fine with me. Last thing is the I have two quick things. ShotSpotter, we've had this in place for a year. And I know you were a big advocate for this. Of course, Escambia County Sheriff also, in conjunction with you guys, paying off for the city. Do you expect to continue? This is one that takes funding, right? That you're going to have to find funding for to continue it, right?
Yeah, this is one that we have to identify funding for to continue. I think it's a great value. Just looking at some of the data, we've been active for about close to 9 months now in the city. And we've had 102 activations that we responded to. Also, the interesting thing, too, is we have the ability to look outside of the coverage area and get, you know, what we call unpublished things. There's been like almost 1,000 of those incidents that were unpublished. So,
Sort of like the gray, you definitely have information on the interior of the map, but then around the perimeter, you also get data from that too.
We can go in and get data from that too, which is very, very crucial, and it's been beneficial on a number of investigations. If we go back and look at trying to timestamp, you know, when we're doing an investigation when something happens or a particular location, we can go back and look at that. And just yesterday, we had an activation, one gunshot that led to the arrest of multiple individuals, seizure of several stolen guns, and some narcotics. So I think that is a win-win for the community right there. So.
Okay. All right. Well, very good. Eric Randall, he is the chief of police now for a couple of years. It's been a little while since we had you on, but I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you today. Thanks for all you do to, you know, lead our force, keep our men and women in blue happy, keep them paid well, and keep the rest of us safe. I super appreciate it, sir. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Well, thank you, Andrew. Thank you for what you do, too. And community, please be safe, slow down, and be careful out there. And watch out for public safety. Thank you.
Amen. 7:56 here on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic for us. John?
Still dealing with that accident on I-10 eastbound. It's been moved over to the side of the road between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone. So we're down to about a 5-minute delay there, but traffic is moving. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, if you're thinking about a next career or personal enrichment, you want to take a history class, an art class, a physics class, or switch careers entirely, pick up an associate's degree or prepare for university, or you're a high school student and you want to get college credit while you're going to high school, that's a free program that does not cost you any money, even for books. You can go to Pensacola State College and do that. My two oldest boys did that, went to university with a year and a half of college credit. My youngest is just starting right now to do that because that is a great program for high school students. You know, and so our experience with PSC, very student-friendly teachers, very customer-oriented administration. Just, I mean, and honestly, a really, really wonderful place to use as an educational resource. Campuses in Pensacola, Warrenton, Milton Century, South Santa Rosa Center, downtown Pensacola, and Santa Rosa Industrial Park East. Find out what PSC can do to help you reach your future goals at pensacolastate.edu.
Wade Men's Health exists for guys who get it done. Let's talk, fellas. You solve problems all day at work. You fix your sink when it's broken. But when it comes to ED and low T, it doesn't get done. We get it. You hate going to the doctor, but you're the guy that fixes things. At Wade Men's Health, there's nothing to fear and no reason to delay. We've been destroying bedroom boredom for years. Our friendly, discreet team of urologists and providers will take the time to listen. So if you haven't fixed this, call us. When the pills fail, call us. If you feel like you've tried everything, call us. Here, there's hope. From the conventional to the next level. Imagine finally taking care of this with no surgery. Imagine going from feeling gray to living life in vibrant color. It's time to be confident. Join the thousands of guys who have found success after walking through our doors. Will you be one of them? Dial 850-266-7020 or go to WaveMensHealth.com to schedule a $99 male performance consultation, including blood work. Do it for you. Do it for her. WaveMensHealth.com. Book your appointment now.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
7:59 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. We are still under a tornado watch for the rest of the day until about 1 o'clock this afternoon. And we are seeing, even though most of the really dangerous part of this storm is over in Walton County right now, we are seeing pop-up sudden bursts here in Escambia and Santa Rosa County, very unpredictably, quite frankly. David Wayne will have your local news coming up next after Fox, and he'll keep you more informed, especially about the effects of the storm and other things going on here locally. I'm Andrew.